know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The Supreme Court threw out affirmative action.
In a lengthy dissent, Justice Sonia Sotomayor spoke at length from the bench. In so holding, the court cements a superficial rule of colorblindness in endemically segregated society where race continues to matter.
Not anymore, Robert
no,
says
we're good. Doesn't. We're good. We can talk about how racism has impacted you in your life and other spots of the admissions.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Professor Schwaber, what grade would you give the Supreme Court for their interpretation of the law?
That doesn't really work. The grade ordinarily would be how accurately and thoughtfully and carefully have you interpreted, you know, existing precedents. I tell you what, though, if I were teaching a course in, let's say, logic, and I was asked to grade this work in terms of its coherence and its rigor, a high D.
Wow.
A high D.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Someone's got it in for me. They're planting stories in the press. Whoever it is, I wish they cut it out quick. But when they will, I can only guess. They say I shot a man named Gray and took his wife to Italy. She inherited a million bucks, and when she died, it came to me. If I'm lucky, people see me all the time, and they just can't remember how to act. Their minds are filled with big ideas, images, and distorted facts. Even you, yesterday, you had to ask me where it was at. I couldn't believe it. Chestnut mare shoot through my head, and I'm making me see stars.
Yeah, it's Bob Dylan on a Monday morning, 8 minutes after 9 o'clock. Is that a reference to Roger McGuinn, Chestnut Mare? I don't know. That's been debated for almost 50 years now. That song came out back in 1975. 68 degrees in Eau Claire right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Talking about several different topics today. Just before the break, we were discussing how Republicans have flipped America's state Supreme Courts. I want to give you just a little bit more of this before we discuss the top 10 U.S. cities for retirees. Of those 10 cities, how many do you think are in Wisconsin? I'll tell you in just a minute. But I want to get back to a little bit more of this about how Republicans have flipped America's state Supreme Courts, especially since next week our state Supreme Court is going to be flipping. But this time from a more conservative court to a more liberal court. And I left off here in this piece where it says what's underway now is part of a long-term project by conservatives to transform state courts dating back to the 1980s. and efforts such as Republican strategist Karl Rove's campaign to unseat liberals in Texas. It was supercharged by an Iowa campaign in 2010 to remove three justices who overturned a ban on same-sex marriage. That election, quote, changed the dynamic. It opened the court up as a site for political gain, said Rachel Payne Caulfield, a professor at Drake University. Quote, in Iowa, they've really done a good job of pinpointing specific changes that very few people would pay attention to, but will be very effective, end quote. After the changes to the state's nominating commission, there's no question that the direction of the court has shifted. It's a much more conservative court, Caulfield added. That's true nationwide, too. In 1980, just 30% of state high court justices in the United States were Republican, according to data compiled by Stanford researcher Brett Oliver Parker and shared with the Center for Public Integrity. The analysis excludes justices whose party could not be determined, but keeps those who are independents. The same data shows that by 2013, that figure crossed 50%. This year, data from the progressive legal organization Alliance for Justice shows over 60% of state high court justices are Republican. So that's double the amount, double the number. And that is sharply out of step with the country's political leanings. Roughly 30% of Americans told pollsters this year that they consider themselves Republican, with independents and Democrats accounting for the rest. Quote, all the energy on this issue is on the right, said law professor Brian Fitzpatrick of Vanderbilt University. He points to data that indicates attorneys lean left. Lawyers play a key role in many states where commissions nominate judicial candidates. It's the Republicans that are not happy with the status quo, he said. In the states examined by Public Integrity, where there has been turnover on the bench, the courts added conservatives or replaced Republican moderates with more right-wing justices. Politicians have come to regard courts less as a check on power than a part of the state's governing coalition, academics and activists say. In two states, more than ideology binds judges to politicians. Ohio Supreme Court Justice Pat DeWine is the son of Republican Governor Mike DeWine. And North Carolina Supreme Court Justice Phil Berger Jr. is the son of the state's most powerful Republican politician, State Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger. The decisions made by justices shape the lives of residents in direct, dramatic fashion. In Arizona, the high court stripped in-state tuition for more than 2,000 students in DACA, the program that protects people brought to the country as children from deportation. In Iowa, the court ruled that pretext stops by police, including those based partly on race, were legal in some circumstances, and that the justices lacked the authority to order regulation of the harmful nitrates flowing into Iowa rivers and fouling drinking water. And this spring in North Carolina, a fresh Republican majority took the highly unusual step of rehearing two politically charged cases decided the previous term. The state's Supreme Court also overturned a lower court ruling that had restored the voting rights of tens of thousands of people with felonies. For those who registered and voted after the lower court's ruling, the thought of losing the franchise was painful. It's like they gave us a taste and then they snatch it back, said Anton Sluder, 31 years old, who lives in Western North Carolina. Around the nation, the stakes are high. State Supreme Court justices, said Jake Falaschini of Alliance for Justice, are the most important political actors in this country that no one's ever heard of. States have four basic methods of selecting judges: appointment by a governor or legislature, partisan elections, nonpartisan elections, and nominating commissions that recommend a slate of candidates elected officials must pick from, often dubbed merit selection. The patchwork emerged out of different moments in American history. At the country's founding, politicians appointed many judges. Then in the early 1800s, states adopted elections to empower independent judiciaries. Then in the mid-20th century, nonpartisan elections swept across the country, an attempt to sever the connection between political machines and judges. Then in later decades, nominating commissions became a popular method of injecting the process with transparency and legal expertise. Herbert Kritzer, an emeritus professor at the University of Minnesota, has studied states that changed their method of judicial selection. In the roughly 20 years before 2000, the dominant motivation was more good government, legal professionalism, etc. Post 2000, it was very, very heavily policy political, he said. Academic research has demolished the perception that judges stand apart from politics. Legal scholars Michael Kang and Joanna Shepherd have consistently found that judges voting in cases tends to favor the interests of their campaign contributors in a predictable and statistically meaningful way, as they wrote in one paper. Is that the way we want it? I don't know if that's what's best for the nation or individual states. Just a little bit more from this piece in USA Today. Their work has documented that judges favor their own parties when ruling on election cases, and that campaign contributions from the Republican Party and its allies are associated with an increased likelihood Republican elected judges will vote in favor of their party's interests. Their research also found that judges who receive contributions from business groups are more likely to favor business interests on the bench. Judges respond to incentives, and a lot of those incentives are financial ones, Kang said in an interview. The money does matter. Or as former West Virginia Supreme Court Justice Richard Neely said in 2006, quote, "It's very hard not to dance with the one who brung you," end quote. Is that a good thing for our state Supreme Court justices to be so closely associated with politicians and political parties? What do you think? If you have an opinion, feel free to give me a call. 715-388-7155 is the number. Going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here!
Whoa! That was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Tap.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon into this evening. Otherwise, it is going to be sunny and hot and humid all week long. Today, partly cloudy, 88 this afternoon. Tonight, down to 64. Sunny, warm, and humid, 92 tomorrow by Wednesday. Sunshine with a high of 95. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Zeppelin, 23 minutes after 9 o'clock, Monday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And I want to run some questions by my producer, Aaron. Let me ask you this, buddy. Can you guess? Well, first of all, let me tell you, we're going to talk about the top 10 U.S. cities for retirees. And number one is not in Florida, but five of the top 10 cities are in the same state. Can you guess? Do you want to take a guess at which state has five of the top 10 cities to retire in on the list here? This is from from U.S. News and World Report. You want to take a guess?
I really don't know. I'm going to guess something that I don't think it is, but it'd be cool if it was, and say Wisconsin.
That would be cool. And personally, I agree with you that Wisconsin would be a great place to retire in. I'd love to retire in Madison or Milwaukee and just hang out here. Maybe take a couple of months off and head south somewhere. But yeah, I think especially in the summertime and even in the spring and fall, there's no place better to be than Wisconsin. But I do have sad news for you. Wisconsin is not on this list of top 10 U.S. cities for retirees. In fact, there are only three states on this list. One state has five of the cities, one state has four of the cities, and then there is another state, which is actually a Midwest Great Lakes state that's not Wisconsin. You want to guess which one?
Is it not Florida? Or
you weren't listening to my question, but that's okay. I'm saying there is one state on this list of 10. And as I mentioned, there's only three states on the list total, but one of the states is in the Midwest and is a Great Lakes state. You want to take another stab at it?
Is it Michigan?
As a matter of fact, it is Michigan. Can you guess which city in Michigan would be on the top 10 list of U.S. cities for retirees?
Of that, I don't know. I honestly don't know that many cities in Michigan.
Yeah, well, it probably wouldn't be Detroit, I would guess.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, but it is Ann Arbor. Ann Arbor, Michigan, on this list of the 10 best places to retire, comes in at number 8. Do you want to guess which state has the number 1 city?
Colorado?
Not Colorado. In fact, the state that's listed number 1, or I should say 5 of these top 10 cities are in this state. It's Pennsylvania, believe it or not. There's a city in Pennsylvania called Lancaster, and that evidently is the number 1 place, according to U.S. News and World Report, their latest survey or study, the number 1 place to retire, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And as I mentioned, there's only 3 states on this list, Pennsylvania, and what do you think the other 2 are? Well, we mentioned Michigan, and then, of course, the other state would be Florida, since so many people retire there, although Florida seems less attractive these days with a pretty controversial governor running that state, doing a lot of things that retirees don't like. So I'll give you this list. Are you ready? Starts with number 10. Reading, Pennsylvania is the number 10 place for retirees. Allentown, Pennsylvania is number 9. Ann Arbor, Michigan, as we mentioned, comes in at number 8. And then at number 7 is Daytona Beach, Florida. Number 6 is Naples, Florida. And then Pennsylvania hits again with York, Pennsylvania. Tampa, Florida comes in at number 4. Number 3 is Pensacola, Florida. Number 2 is Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And number 1 is Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That's right. Pennsylvania has 5 of the top 10 cities to retire in, according to U.S. News and World Report. Florida has 4 of those cities, and then Michigan comes in with 1. I'm surprised that Wisconsin isn't even on the list, but maybe not. It's they measure several different qualities of life or things which affect your life. In these studies, they come out with a different list every year. And the cities kind of move around on that list, but many times it's the same cities as the year before. So if you're thinking about retiring and you want a great place to do it, you might want to consider Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I don't know if I would, but anyway, 28 minutes after 9 o'clock, let's take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Sparks fly in Israel's Knesset as Parliament passes a contentious law limiting the power of the country's Supreme Court. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer.
People who are opposed to it say it undermines judicial independence, which is the only check on the executive branch's power.
A political watchdog group has already filed an appeal. There's no sign Texas will comply with a Justice Department order to remove a floating barrier in the Rio Grande today. Day that's intended to keep out migrants. Republican Tony Gonzalez tells CBS.
This has been happening every single week. We've seen people drown. Last year, there were hundreds of migrants that are drowning. I'm glad it's getting some attention.
A UN official says talks have begun with North Korea over the U.S. soldier who crossed the DMZ last week.
The conversation has commenced
with the KPA through the mechanisms of the armistice agreement.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For 105.7 CFW and the Tap FM 93.5, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. A teenage boy is in custody after leading a sheriff's deputy on a high-speed chase on Eau Claire's north side yesterday afternoon. The Eau Claire County Sheriff's Office said they tried to stop a vehicle for signs of drunk driving as it was swerving between lanes on the north crossing. The driver of the vehicle sped away, getting up to speeds of 100 miles per hour before crashing in a roundabout, rolling the vehicle over. The only person hurt in the crash was a 17-year-old driver who was being referred for charges of OWI, fleeing an officer, and recklessly endangering safety. The National Weather Service says temperatures this week will be well into the 80s, with many places into the 90s as a heat wave settles in. Thursday is expected to be the hottest day in the area. Today, most places will stay in the 80s. In addition, our entire listening area is in an air quality advisory due to Canadian wildfire smoke through noon tomorrow. From the Civic Media News Desk here in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay. Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm onto something. Reese's. Reese's. Reese's.
Ray Magliozzi here for eBay Motors. So you ordered a new air filter for your car. You try to install it, but it doesn't fit. So you take a little bit off the sides. What, still doesn't fit? Well, you could try to sit on it. Or get it right the first time with eBay Guaranteed Fit. When you see the check, you know that part's going to fit. Air filters, brakes, headlights, over 122 million parts. Get the right parts at the right prices. eBay Motors, let's ride. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show,
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Trucking, got my chips cashed in. Keep trucking like the doodah man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep trucking on, on, on.
Arrows of neon and flashing marquees out on Main Street. Chicago, New York, Detroit, and it's all on the same street. A typical city involved in a typical daydream. Hang it up and see what tomorrow brings.
Dallas, got a soft machine. Houston, too close to New Orleans. New York, got the ways and means. And just won't let you be.
The cats that you meet on the streets speak of true love. Most of the time they're sitting and crying at home. One of these days they know they gotta get going. Out of the door and down to the street all alone.
Chugging like the doodah man once told me you got to pay your hand. Sometimes the cards ain't worth a dime if you don't lay them down.
Yes.
Cards ain't worth a damn if you don't lay them down. 9:34 right now, almost 9:35. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 70 degrees in La Crosse right now. It is 67 degrees in Amory. And just before the break, we were discussing the top 10 cities for retirees in the United States, according to U.S. News and World Report. They publish that list every year. And they factor in several different things when they're trying to come up with that list. But as we mentioned, there are four cities from Florida on that list. And we also mentioned that the number of Florida cities may continue to dwindle because of that governor they have down there. And in case you hadn't heard, he's doubling down on his new education policies regarding slavery. Have you heard this story yet? Evidently in Florida, they're going to change the way that slavery or the subject of slavery is taught in schools, pointing out, or at least making up the story, that some of what slaves were able to learn was kind of like a jobs training program. It was beneficial to them in some way. That's right. You heard me right. And of course, there's a big backlash to this supposedly education. This headline from the Raw story says, "There's nothing worse. A black Republican strategist whacks DeSantis over slavery claims." This was just published a few minutes ago, actually, by Matthew Chapman on Raw Story. And there's, of course, a picture of the governor just under the headline. And the caption on the picture says, "Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has been an outspoken critic of Bud Light, but he is scheduled to benefit from a fundraiser co-hosted by a lobbyist for Bud Light's parent company." Now, how would the MAGA crowd feel about that? Evidently, those who want to make America great again hate Bud Light these days because Bud Light acknowledged a transsexual person and sent them a six-pack of beer. And, of course, that was too much for many MAGA people to absorb, and they went on a big boycott and said, "No more Bud Light." Anyway, I'll give you a little bit of the story from the Raw story. It says, "Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' presidential campaign has been disrupted again by outrage over his state's adoption of new education standards teaching children that black people learned valuable skills from their bondage in slavery. A claim the governor swiftly doubled down on, despite some commentators pointing out that many of the examples the Florida Department of Education provided were historically inaccurate." Speaking to CNN on Monday, that's today, Joe Pinion, a black Republican strategist and former candidate for Senate in New York, tore into DeSantis's bad judgment and bad read of history. Quote, "I was struck really by Ron DeSantis doubling down on this," said anchor Erica Hill. "You know, these are the standards. This is the history. Hey, you could be a blacksmith and you could go use that somewhere." It is remarkable. And I think former Congressman Will Hurd perhaps put it really well when he said in a tweet, basically saying, "I can't believe I have to say this, but slavery wasn't a jobs program that taught beneficial skills. It was literally dehumanizing and subjugated people as property, because they lacked any rights or freedoms. When you look at this, Joe, especially as a Republican strategist, when you look at this, how is that? This is where Ron DeSantis is going. He is doubling down on this, and there is this push that somehow this is a more accurate view, accurate telling of U.S. history," end quote. So here's where the guest chimes in. Mr. Pinion says, "Well, look, the only thing slavery taught anyone is that there are no limits to the brutality that lurks in the hearts of man. And the only thing that those comments teach us is that in many ways, the vestiges of that brutality still exists. There's nothing worse than trying to tell the people that are descendants of such brutal subjugation that somehow
There were some lessons learned along the way. It's a sad day, end quote. And that is a Republican talking, a Republican strategist. A bigger problem, Pinion continued, is that all of this drama distracts from one of the biggest issues facing Black Americans, which is that they are being shut out of the educational system, from majority Black schools struggling to a high-profile incident at Texas A&M University, where the president was forced to resign after interfering in the hiring of a Black journalist to a professorship. Quote, it's a broader issue that Black professors have struggled to get tenureship at many institutions, said Pinion. Issue by issue, I think the actual issues confronting Black people in many ways on a day-to-day basis get lost because of the insanity on the far fringes. When in reality, you're looking at California, where we have over 70% of juniors who are not reading at proficient levels. In Florida, you see those numbers much the same way for Black students. So those are the real issues. Those are the real stakes, the civil rights issue of our time. And we have people trying to relitigate the values of the civil rights movement in the first place, end quote. So not all Republicans agree with Governor DeSantis, Florida's new education policy of teaching that there were benefits for the people that were enslaved, that they were learning job skills that they could use elsewhere. I don't know about that. 9:41 right now. Another story I wanted to get to was from another Republican insider who is warning us of the dangers of a possible Trump second term. This is from The Guardian, and this is about a new book called Blowback by Miles Taylor, who a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, published an anonymous op-ed in the New York Times with the headline, I am part of the resistance inside the Trump administration. This was posted yesterday afternoon. And it's actually in the book review section of the Guardian. It says here, Blowback Review, Miles Taylor on the dangers of a second Trump term. The aide, who was anonymous, writes under his own name with an urgency the New York Times and others should note. This is by Charles Kaiser. It says here, Miles Taylor is a former chief of staff of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security who catapulted himself to nameless fame in the fall of 2018 when he published an anonymous op-ed in the New York Times under this headline, I am part of the resistance inside the Trump administration. Taylor described himself then as one of many senior officials working diligently from within to frustrate parts of Trump's agenda and his worst inclinations. To be clear, and this is a quote from that anonymous op-ed from 2018, to be clear, ours is not the popular resistance of the left. We want the administration to succeed. But we believe our first duty is to this country, and the president continues to act in a manner that is detrimental to the health of our republic. Okay, so that's only a year and a half into Trump's presidency that this member of the Republican team is writing this. That article set off a firestorm. Trump and his allies demanding to know the identity of this traitor, while some on the left questioned the morality of continuing to work for an administration after you've realized it's a clear and present danger to the health of this country. In his new book, Taylor reveals that debate was as vivid inside him as it was within the rest of the body politic. He has now concluded that anonymity, which he carried into his first book called A Warning, was a mistake. He says now it was a gift to authoritarians. They thrive on fear and the suppression of dissent, end quote. The subtitle of his new book is A Warning to Save Democracy from the Next Trump. And there is certainly plenty of that in its 300 plus pages, but there is also lots about Taylor's mentally, emotionally, and physically painful journey to the truth, which included the breakup of his marriage, bouts of alcoholism, and prescription drug abuse. Even after the scores of Trump books which have assaulted our bookshelves, Taylor still manages to reveal a few fresh moments of astonishing evil or narrow escapes from Armageddon. These include Trump's musing to his then chief of staff, John Kelly, quote, that he badly wanted to strike North Korea with a nuclear weapon. Also, the president talking about his daughter Ivanka's breasts, her backside, and what it might be like to have sex with her. Also, Stephen Miller's eagerness to eliminate the judiciary branch of the government. Yes, sir, a country without judges would help, is the quote. Also, Miller's equal affection for genocide, revealed when he interrogated the commandant of the U.S. Coast Guard about why he couldn't use a drone with a missile to obliterate a boat full of immigrants in international waters. International law would be a problem, the commandant explained. The substantive part of Taylor's book is devoted to waking up Americans to the very real dangers of a second Trump presidency, including plans to, quote, manipulate the justice system to cover up corruption, punish political enemies, and reshape U.S. courts, end quote. Taylor reminds us once again of how completely the Republican Party has been corrupted by MAGA ideology, with powerful allies of the House Speaker Kevin McCarthy like Marjorie Taylor Greene calling for defunding the FBI, while the Texas Senator Ted Cruz wants a complete house cleaning at the same agency. Quote, they will be unconstrained and untethered, the former Homeland Security General Counsel John Mitnick says. What little restraint was exercised in terms of respecting the rule of law will be gone in a second Trump presidency. Like many other George W. Bush Republicans, Taylor is weakest when he argues that Trump is an outlier to ideals long espoused by conservatives, free minds, free markets, and free people. This ignores the party's historical affection for racism and homophobia, which dates at least to Richard Nixon's Southern strategy in 1968 or Bush's advocacy for a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage. I've got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show. There's a place up ahead and I'm going just as fast as my feet.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters. More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon into this evening. Otherwise, it is going to be sunny and hot and humid all week long. Today, partly cloudy, 88 this afternoon. Tonight, down to 64. Sunny, warm, and humid, 92 tomorrow by Wednesday. Sunshine with a high of 95. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Show 9:51 right now on this Monday morning. And just before the break, we were discussing this warning from a Trump insider that a second Trump presidency, a second term, would be dangerous for our democracy, for our nation. And this is the same gentleman who wrote the anonymous op-ed in the New York Times back in 2018, warning us then, a year and a half into Trump's presidency, about the crazy things that were going on in the White House at that time. This new book, which is by the gentleman, the author, by the way, is Miles Taylor. The book is called Blowback, and the subtitle of the new book, A Warning to Save Democracy from the Next Trump, 300 pages, over 300 pages. And although he does argue that Trump could be dangerous, not only to this nation, but democracy in general, he still remains a Republican and tries to defend many Republican policies. Where we left off here, it says, like many other George W. Bush Republicans, Miles Taylor is weakest when he argues that Trump is an outlier to ideals long espoused by conservatives such as free minds, free markets, and free people. This ignores the party's historical affection for racism and homophobia, which dates at least to Richard Nixon's Southern strategy in 1968, or Bush's advocacy for a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage, which was a cornerstone of his reelection campaign in 2004. When Taylor casually accuses Barack Obama of backing away from America's allies and bowing down to its adversaries, we are reminded the author is indeed an old-fashioned Republican. But his book is still important, this book called Blowback. It's still important because it rings alarm bells about the huge danger of fascism and authoritarianism that would come with Trump's return to the White House in a moment when many Washington reporters are silent. This journalistic impotence was evident in two recent stories co-authored by the New York Times reporters Jonathan Swan, Charlie Savage, and Maggie Haberman. The first one, published last month, described Trump's promise to appoint a special prosecutor to investigate Joe Biden as part of a larger movement on the right to gut the FBI, overhaul a Justice Department conservatives claim has been weaponized against them, and abandon the norm, which many Republicans view as a facade, that the department should operate independently from the president. The second piece by the same trio described MAGA plans to eliminate the independence of all federal agencies, including the Federal Reserve Board, and laid out Trump's plans to scour the intelligence agencies, the State Department, and the defense bureaucracies to remove officials he has vilified as the sick political class that hates our country. And of course, he's talking about people who've devoted their lives to
Making Government Better. These two articles totaled 4,800 words, but included less than 100 words from anyone questioning the morality or legality of these plans to politicize the Justice Department and destroy the federal civil service. This single quote from Kelly was the only significant balance provided in either piece. Quote, "It would be chaotic. It just simply would be chaotic because Trump would continually be trying to exceed his authority, but the sycophants would go along with it. It would be a nonstop gunfight with the Congress and the courts," end quote. The Times reporters did not respond to an email asking why they thought 100 words of opposition to the MAGA agenda were sufficient to make their stories balanced. With that kind of laissez-faire attitude prevailing among too many journalists, books like Taylor's, which focus on the imminent dangers from a MAGA revival, are crucial to a broader effort to rescue American democracy. So that's a review of the new book called Blowback, A Warning to Save Democracy from the Next Trump. And that is in The Guardian, guardian.com. Well, we are running out of time. I just want to get to one more warning. This actually is not a, it's not really a warning, but it tells how Bidenomics came to be and how it could survive from HuffPost. If Biden wants to finish overturning a Reagan-era economic paradigm, we'll have to convince voters it's worked so far. This was just posted a few minutes ago. It says, in late June, when President Joe Biden took the stage at the old post office building in Chicago to declare a fundamental break from the trickle-down economic paradigm that has ruled American politics for more than 40 years, he insisted the self-congratulatory name for his economic program was not his idea. Bidenomics came from the Wall Street Journal and the Financial Times, Biden said. I didn't come up with the name, he said. I really didn't. Even if the name was unplanned, the fundamental shift it has come to symbolize was not. Bidenomics is the result of a conscious effort by the White House to undo a free market paradigm that swept into Washington with President Ronald Reagan's election, one that favored the private sector over the public, the financial well-being of the rich over the poor, the support of monopolies over small and local business, and the empowerment of bosses over workers. After 2 years of working to pass high-profile economic legislation and rolling out comparatively obscure new government rules, Biden is ready to take credit for what could prove to be a sea change in American politics and economic life. Say goodbye to Reaganomics and hello to Bidenomics. Bidenomics, as the president and his administration tell it, puts the government back in the driver's seat through the direction of industrial policy in key sectors deemed important to national and economic security, and it prioritizes worker empowerment and competition through the reinvigoration of labor unions and antitrust enforcement. Bidenomics could be a good thing. Seems to be working pretty well so far. What do you think? Nah, we run out of time. Everybody have a great day. Make sure you're tuned in tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow morning, 8 a.m.
This is my home. This is where I belong. Oh, yeah. Where I belong.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.